WBTV's Good Question is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network. Listen to your city at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
It's a well-known spot in Mecklenburg County full of rich history, but last year it closed amid controversy. We're talking about the historic Latta Plantation. We're explaining why it was temporarily shuttered and asking when it will reopen to the public.
We made a commitment to the board and really to the public that we were going to be intentional. For us, in returning to those values that we started with, there's nothing in there that says we're going to do this quickly. It says we're going to do this.
This is WBTV's Good Question. In this episode of WBTV's Good Question, we're asking what is happening with the Latta Plantation in Mecklenburg County, a historic site that was temporarily shut down in 2021 after an event that some people deemed insensitive was planned to be held at the site. WBTV anchor Jamie Bowl spoke to a representative from Mecklenburg County Park and Recreation about the process of studying the historic Latta site and eventually reopening it. Before we get to that conversation, we need to explain what the site is and why it is currently closed. Mecklenburg County's website describes the historic Latta Plantation as a, quote, circa 1800 historic farm located in Latta Nature Preserve in Huntersville, North Carolina. The webpage goes on to describe the site. Quote, the plantation house, along with a carriage barn, cabins, and outbuildings, gives visitors a glimpse into 19th century and the Carolina backcountry, end quote. Important to differentiate here between the nature preserve and the historic site. Here's another blurb from the county's website. The site's message writes, the nature preserve is a 1,400-acre site that protects significant natural resources and provides water quality protection for Mountain Island Lake. The historic Latta site occupies about 16 acres within the preserve. There are 19 structures on the property, two of which remain from the original James Latta Plantation. The property, historic house, and several other historic structures are owned by Mecklenburg County. For years, people were able to visit the plantation site and get a history lesson about the 1800s era farm. But that all came to an abrupt halt 1 year ago. An event was scheduled to take place at the historic site on June 19, 2021. That day also marks Juneteenth, the holiday that commemorates the emancipation of the slaves in the United States. The event was titled Kingdom Coming. A description of the program was posted online and the backlash began. The description included antiquated terminology, including the use of the word massa. It said people who attended the event would hear from a slave owner who had been chased out of his house by, quote, Yankees and his former slaves. A portion of the event description read, quote, white refugees have been displaced and have a story to tell as well. Confederate soldiers who will be heading home express their feelings about the downfall of the Confederacy, end quote. The community backlash came quickly.
Who put this out? This is unbelievable.
Mecklenburg County Commissioner Vilma Leek spoke publicly about her feelings regarding this planned event.
This is unacceptable in Mecklenburg County.
Cass Otley, a popular activist living in Charlotte, also spoke out against the event in a press conference outside of the county's government center.
We will not tolerate, one, our history being rewritten, the master and his side of the story being glorified. And as my sister said, if this was a Holocaust museum and anyone tried to glorify the side of the Nazis, this would swiftly be shut down.
Ian Campbell, the plantation's former site manager, said the event was canceled due to, quote, security concerns for volunteers and staff, end quote. Campbell put out a statement blaming the media for inciting a social media frenzy. He wrote, quote, to the masses on social media and politicians, no apology will be given for bringing a unique program to educate the public about former slaves becoming free, end quote. Ultimately, the county opted not to renew its annual performance agreement with the Historic Latta Place. That's the private nonprofit that had managed the Historic Latta site since it opened to the public in 1976. The county wrote on its website that its staff would assess potential partnerships and best practices for the activation of the former plantation site for intentional educational experiences for all ages. It said staff would be doing this with the goals of equity, inclusion, and compassionate programming in mind. The county also wrote that the Park and Recreation Department has initiated conversations with community partners, including museum professionals, local historians, and experts in the interpretation of African-American experiences during the antebellum period. The project team is also consulting with scholars from around the country in order to ensure that the next steps are informed by current research. So here we are. The 16-acre historic site is still closed to the public. Where does the reopening process stand? Well, we know Mecklenburg County has completed the first phase of the reopening project. As part of the first phase of the process, the landmark is rebranding from Latta Plantation to Latta Place. So what comes next? That brings us to Jamie Bull's interview with Liz Morrell. She's the Historic Cultural and Community Resources Manager for Mecklenburg County Park and Rec. Take a listen to what she had to say about the future of the historic site.
Liz, I appreciate you taking time to talk to us. I hope you're doing well.
I am. Thank you.
I think some people might just be wondering, why has progress been so slow on getting to the next step for Latta Plantation?
Yeah, well, thanks for reaching out and engaging with us about this. So when we ended our contract with the nonprofit that was operating the site about a year ago, mm-hmm. we made a commitment to the board and really to the public that we were going to be intentional about this, just given how important the site is to the community, telling the history in an accurate and a compassionate manner. Mm-hmm. And so as part of that, we have engaged in a really intentional three-stage process. And that process is a multi-year process. So the first stage is discovery. And that's what we just kind of finished up. And that involved a lot of things from outreach to community partners, you know, folks who work in the museum industry, local historians, and other just community partners who could help advise us on this. And then the development of a mission statement. We did outreach to find out what values should be driving our work. And we got that information from a public survey. We did another statistically valid survey to learn about people's experiences with the site to date. And then, you know, benchmarking research as well. What are the best practices for these sites? So this will be the first time that the county actually directly operates a historic site. So we had to learn what are other agencies doing and what's working and what's not working. And one of the things that the committee came to through all of this process is that we really need what's called an interpretive master plan. And that is a really comprehensive deep dive into the history of the site, looking at archival documents, collecting oral histories and stories from folks within the community who have ties to the site. And the ultimate goal of that is to just help drive programming and tell, you know, help us develop the interpretive themes and the types of stories that we want to be telling. So as part of that, we developed a request for proposals. And so all of that has kind of been in process behind the scenes for the last year. And where we're at now is we're at the end of phase one, which is that year-long discovery phase, and we're embarking on phase two, which is blueprinting. And that is going to be our research phase. And we're hoping that that will wrap up towards the end of this year.
So through this discovery phase, have you learned anything? Oh,
I have learned so much. I've learned a lot just from the operational side about best practices for historic sites. I've learned there are a lot of different ways that historic sites are operated. I've learned about the history of historic monuments through the National Park Service. And I've learned a lot about the history of our country, some of which was really eye-opening for me, despite the fact that I've been interested in these topics and working on these topics for most of my career. I just continue to learn and grow.
Does there have to be a unanimous sort of approval of what this will be going forward among the members who are working on this?
That's a great question. We strive for consensus wherever possible, and we have, to this point, always achieved it. So one of the things that we really prioritized as part of our values, truth, transparency, compassion, unity, and transformation, so the truth and the transparency piece is that we run everything by the committee to get feedback. So they have had direct input into everything we've done. And so, like I said, up to this point, just through the discussion, we have been able to come to consensus. Now, I don't know if that will always be the case. I certainly hope so. And that's what we aim for. We know that with these types of things, you know, that there's always going to be a lot of opinions. And so sometimes that may not be possible, but for up until this point, we have been able to achieve it. And we're really happy about that.
But all these differing voices are going to have a voice. They're going to have a say, and they're going to be able to state, you know, kind of where they're coming from.
Absolutely. And all those different voices, I mean, if were reflected in our statistically valid survey that we did. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in reading through the comments and people's reflections on the site, as a researcher, when I'm analyzing that data, what I come away with is that there are a lot of different opinions and a lot of different perspectives. And we're very sensitive to that. And one of the things that is in our mission statement is this idea of multivocality. And so that the fact that there are a myriad of perspectives and a myriad of stories when you look at the history of any particular site, and that we want to reflect that in a very compassionate and sensitive manner.
I don't want to say you have one chance to get it right, but you got one big opportunity to get it right. Is that sounds like that's more important than doing something quickly?
100%. And like I said, you know, for us in returning to those values that we started with, there's nothing in there that says we're going to do this quickly. It says we're going to do this. And we do have, as the project manager, you know, I'm a very deadline task oriented person. So we are moving through it as quickly as we can, while also maintaining our commitment to that, that truth piece, especially.
But you know how this goes. People are going to wonder, right? When are my kids going to go out there with a field trip again, or something along those lines? If you could, can you give us some sort of timeline of when you think things like that will start happening again?
So we don't have a date right now for reopening. What I can say is that we're wrapping up the plan. The blueprinting phase, which is phase two, will be this year. And while that's going on, we'll be kind of simultaneously doing our ongoing site improvements, some deferred maintenance, and some other actual capital improvements potentially that we'll do at the site. And I'm hoping that we'll have some more clarity on a date at the end of that process.
We'll be looking for that. Liz, I appreciate you taking a few minutes to explain where you all are in the process.
Well, thank you so much for reaching out, and I look forward to keeping you posted.
Please do. Thank you.
Morrell says the county is actively looking for people who may have ties to the site who are interested in engaging or sharing their stories. They can email her at elizabeth.morrell@mecnc.gov. Morrell is spelled M-O-R-R-E-L-L. WBTV's Good Question is a product of WBTV in cooperation with Queen City Podcast Network and Balto Creative Media. From WBTV, Good Question is produced by Jack Vandertal. Special thanks to Jamie Bull. For the Queen City Podcast Network, WBTV's Good Question is produced by Brian Baltashevitz and Maria Delgado. Production coordinator, Taylor Robinson. It is recorded at the Queen City Podcast Network studios at Huga Coworking in Charlotte, North Carolina.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.